Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. This is Democracy Now!
We can and will defend every inch of NATO territory, and we'll do it together. And that, we're investing in our future strength to ensure NATO will always be ready for whatever threats we will face, should be a clear message we're making to the sending to the world.
As President Biden hosts NATO leaders in Washington, pressure's growing on him to drop his reelection campaign. As doubts grow over his mental fitness and ability to defeat Donald Trump. As Vermont Senator Peter Welch and major Democratic fundraiser George Clooney call for Biden to step aside, we'll host a debate on what Biden should do. Then we look at the state of the Gaza ceasefire and hostage negotiations. A framework for a deal has reportedly been agreed to by Hamas and Israel.
The president believes wholeheartedly that this ceasefire proposal that we are trying to get done will make a big difference in terms of not only temporarily ceasing hostilities, but potentially giving us an opening to end this conflict.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israeli troops have killed at least 30 Palestinians in the Gaza City neighborhood of Tal al-Hawa. The attack came a day after Israel ordered all civilians in Gaza City to leave, despite them having no safe place to go. Al Jazeera reports Israeli snipers have been shooting at some Palestinians who've attempted to flee. The Israeli human rights group B'Tselem decried the evacuation order of the city as, quote, absolute madness. The group said, quote, based on Israel's actions, it appears that it intends to continue fighting indefinitely, sowing destruction and killing masses of people for the foreseeable future, unquote. This comes as Israeli troops have once again attacked the Gaza City headquarters of the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency, UNRWA. According to the agency, Israel's attacked UNRWA facilities 453 times since October. Meanwhile, Israeli troops have pulled out of parts of the neighborhood of Shejaya in Gaza City, leaving behind utter destruction. This is a Shejaya resident.
We returned to Shejaya after 15 days. You can see the destruction. They spared nothing, even trees. There was a lot of greenery in this area. What is the guilt of stones and trees? And what is my guilt as a civilian? There are bodies of civilian people. What is the guilt of the civilian? Who are you fighting? The people are who? The Israeli forces are destroying everything.
Meanwhile, Israeli officials have returned from Qatar after meeting Wednesday with CIA Director William Burns, as well as Qatari and Egyptian officials, as hostage and ceasefire negotiations are reportedly progressing. Separately, Egypt's foreign minister says talks are underway to prevent a wider war in Lebanon between Israel and Hezbollah.
We are intensifying our communications with our brothers, with various Lebanese parties, as well as the effective regional and international parties to defuse the crisis and to avoid the scourge of engaging in all-encompassing confrontations that will lead to the ignition of the Lebanese front, which will have grave consequences and risks for Lebanon, the Lebanese people, the Arab area, and the entire region.
Hezbollah has said it will stop cross-border attacks if a Gaza ceasefire deal is reached. The Biden administration's resuming the shipment of 500-pound bombs to Israel after a two-month pause and intense pressure by Israeli officials. This comes despite the continued Israeli carnage in Gaza, which has now killed close to 39,000 Palestinians, according to the Ministry of Health, though the true toll is expected to be much higher. The resumption of shipments of 2,000-pound U.S. bombs is reportedly still under review. President Biden's meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky today on the final day of the three-day NATO summit in Washington. On Wednesday, NATO members formally declared Ukraine is on a, quote, irreversible path to NATO membership, but only after war with Russia ends. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken also announced U.S.-built F-16 warplanes are headed for Ukraine.
And I'm also pleased to announce that as we speak, the transfer of F-16 jets is underway, coming from Denmark, coming from the Netherlands. And those jets will be flying in the skies of Ukraine this summer to make sure that Ukraine can continue to effectively defend itself against the Russian aggression.
On Wednesday, NATO also accused China for the first time of being a, quote, decisive enabler of Russia's war. The military alliance called on China to, quote, cease all material and political support to Russia's war effort, unquote. China condemned NATO's declaration.
The NATO-Washington summit declaration plays up the tension in the Asia-Pacific region and is full of Cold War mentality and antagonistic rhetoric. The content concerning China is full of prejudice, smear, and provocation. We are strongly dissatisfied with this and firmly oppose it.
Russian authorities have issued an arrest warrant for Yulia Navalnaya, the widow of the opposition politician Alexei Navalny, who died earlier this year in a Siberian penal colony. Yulia Navalnaya left Russia in 2021, has lived in Germany ever since. If she returns to Russia, she faces arrest and at least 2 months in jail. Meanwhile, a court in Moscow has sentenced a playwright and a theater director to 6 years in prison after they were convicted on charges of justifying terrorism. Authorities objected to a play produced by Yevgenia Berkovich and Svetlana Petrychuk about Russian women marrying Islamic State fighters in Syria. Many prominent artists have left Russia since its 2022 invasion of Ukraine after authorities tightened censorship laws and launched a crackdown on anti-war voices. A new UN report finds Uganda responsible for supporting M23 rebels in eastern Congo, while at least 3,000 to 4,000 Rwandan troops are deployed in the region and operating alongside the armed group. UN experts say the presence of Rwanda's forces violates the sovereignty and territorial integrity of the Democratic Republic of the Congo and implicates the Rwandan government in crimes committed by the M23. The Congolese have long accused Rwanda of backing the M23, which has been accused of the mass killing of civilians. A 2-week humanitarian truce started last Friday in eastern Congo, but there have been multiple reports of violence since then. Over 5 million Congolese are internally displaced, with another million having fled the country. Back in Washington, D.C., President Joe Biden's holding his first solo news conference of the year to close out the NATO summit amidst a frenzied debate over the future of his candidacy for president. More Democratic defectors emerged over the past day, despite Biden's calls to move on from the issue. Vermont Democratic Senator Peter Welch becomes the first senator to call for Biden to step aside Wednesday. Democratic Congressmembers Pat Ryan and Earl Blumenauer also joined at least 9 other House members calling on Biden to withdraw. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also weighed in on the issue in an interview on MSNBC.
It's up to the president to decide if he is going to run. We're all encouraging him to make that decision because time is running short.
Meanwhile, the nation's top union leaders reportedly expressed concerns about Biden's candidacy at a closed-door meeting Wednesday. In another blow to Biden, George Clooney, one of the highest profile supporters of Biden in the entertainment world, publicly called for the sitting president to step down as the Democratic nominee. In an op-ed for The New York Times, George Clooney wrote, quote, "The Joe Biden I was with 3 weeks ago at the fundraiser was not the Joe big effing deal Biden of 2010. He wasn't even the Joe Biden of 2020. He was the same man we all witnessed at the debate," George Clooney wrote. House Republicans on Wednesday passed a bill that would require voters to prove their U.S. citizenship in order to vote in federal elections. Democrats and voting rights advocates blasted the Safeguard American Voter Eligibility, or SAVE, Act. This is progressive Congressmember Summer Lee speaking from the House floor.
Let me be clear. They don't want you to vote. They don't want to hear black voices, brown voices, LGBTQIA voices, young voices. Our fundamental access to our democracy is being politicized. And this xenophobic attack that we're debating today will make it harder for Americans to vote. My Republican colleagues will claim that requiring IDs is a small ask, but nearly 30 million people lack a valid driver's license. And about 15 to 18 million adults don't have access to documents proving their birth or citizenship. Americans don't need more obstacles. It's already hard enough.
Congressmember Summer Lee has introduced the Right to Vote Act, which would enshrine federal protections on voting and prevent Republicans from pushing such voter suppression measures. Nevada's Secretary of State's requested the Nevada Supreme Court certify the vote recount of two primary races in Washoe County after Washoe commissioners voted not to certify the results. The move came after a well-known Trump supporter and election denier claimed the results were rigged and demanded a recount by hand. Observers warn the election tumult in Washoe could be a sign of further chaos for the battleground state as November approaches. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez led a group of House Democratic Congress members in introducing articles of impeachment against Supreme Court Justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito for failing to disclose gifts they received over decades from right-wing billionaires.
Justices Thomas and Alito's years-long pattern of misconduct and failure to recuse in cases bearing their clear personal and financial involvement represents an abuse of power and threat to our democracy fundamentally incompatible with continued service on our nation's highest court.
The impeachment effort is not expected to move forward in the Republican-controlled House. This comes as more details emerge this week about gifts received by Justice Thomas from the conservative megadonor billionaire Harlan Crow and others, including a yacht trip to Russia in 2003. In a letter sent to Attorney General Merrick Garland on Tuesday, Senators Sheldon Whitehouse and Ron Wyden called on Garland to appoint a special counsel to investigate Thomas and said the justice may have committed tax fraud by not reporting the gifts. A bipartisan group of senators announced the Ethics Act Wednesday, which would ban members of Congress, their families, and the U.S. president and vice president from stock trading while in office. Democratic Senator Jeff Merkley said, quote, "We must be here to serve the public, not our portfolios." Jury deliberations are expected to begin today in New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez's corruption case. The Democratic senator, his wife Nadine Menendez, and three New Jersey businessmen are accused in the bribery scheme. Senator Menendez is also accused of abusing his official position to benefit interests in Egypt and Qatar. If convicted, Senator Menendez could face years in prison. Chicago's Democratic Mayor Brandon Johnson has spoken out after a spate of shootings over the July 4th holiday weekend, which injured more than 100 people and killed at least 19. Johnson called on federal authorities to intervene as he spoke at a Chicago Police Public Safety news conference.
We need to ensure that we are holding every single individual accountable for the pain and trauma and the torment that they have caused in this city. There will be consequences. There will be consequences for the violence. We will not let criminal activity ruin and harm our city.
In other gun news, vending machines have been installed in grocery stores in Texas, Oklahoma, and Alabama that sell bullets. The Texas-based company American Rounds says it plans to expand its bullet vending machines to other states with lax gun laws. And today marks the International Day of Remembrance for the 1995 Srebrenica genocide. The remains of 14 more victims are being buried today at the Srebrenica Genocide Memorial. Some 8,000 Bosnian Muslim men and boys were killed in the massacre after Bosnian Serb armed forces stormed the UN safe zone during the Balkan Wars, seen as the worst atrocity in Europe's history since World War II. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. When we come back, a debate on President Biden. Is it time for him to step aside and drop out of the presidential race? Stay with us.
See that hillside on that hillside for today that gives me some time. I'm new here, funny feeling, bumping into its the beginning. All my voice is quiet listening. There's so much more than what I am hearing. We're always more than we'll ever be.
By Marina Allen. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman.
And I'm Nermeen Sheikh. Welcome to our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world. President Joe Biden faces high stakes when he holds a news conference this evening after hosting NATO leaders in Washington, D.C. It will be Biden's first solo news conference this year. This comes as Biden is facing growing calls to quit the 2024 presidential race after his disastrous debate performance 2 weeks ago. On Wednesday, Senator Peter Welch of Vermont became the first Democratic senator to publicly call on President Biden to step aside. Welch penned an op-ed in the Washington Post headlined, "Biden should withdraw for the good of the country." He wrote, quote, "I deliver this assessment with sadness. Vermont loves Joe Biden. President Biden and Vice President Harris received a larger vote percentage here than in any other state. But regular Vermonters are worried that he can't win this time, and they're terrified of another Trump presidency." Senator Welch is the 10th congressional Democrat to call on Biden to step aside. This comes after Colorado Senator Michael Bennett told CNN Tuesday he doesn't think Biden can win re-election, but stopped short of calling for his withdrawal.
Donald Trump is on track, I think, to win this election and maybe win it by a landslide and take with him the Senate and the House. And so for me, this isn't a question about polling. It's not a question about politics. It's a moral question about the future of our country.
On Wednesday, the New York Times published an op-ed by actor George Clooney headlined, "I love Joe Biden, but we need a new nominee." Clooney co-hosted a major fundraiser for President Biden last month and wrote, quote, "It's devastating to say it, but the Joe Biden I was with 3 weeks ago at the fundraiser was not the Joe big effing deal Biden of 2010. He wasn't even the Joe Biden of 2020. He was the same man we all witnessed at the debate," Clooney wrote. Meanwhile, former Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Wednesday she's waiting for Biden to make a final decision on running. This all comes as Biden insists he's staying in the race and has been backed by many progressive Congress members, even some who are openly critical of his support for Israel's war on Gaza. This includes Congress members Ilhan Omar, who told the Washington Post, quote, "He's been the best president of my lifetime and we have his back." And also Congress members Ayanna Pressley, Cori Bush, Congressional Progressive Caucus Chair Pramila Jayapal, Senator Bernie Sanders, and New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who spoke to reporters Monday.
I've spoken with him extensively. He made clear then, and he has made clear since, that he is in this race. The matter is closed. He had reiterated that this morning. He has reiterated that to the public. Joe Biden is our nominee. He is not leaving this race. He is in this race, and I support him. Now, what I think is critically important right now is that we focus on what it takes to win in November, because he is running against Donald Trump, who is a man with 34 felony convictions.
The majority of the Congressional Black Caucus has also supported Biden's plan to stay in the race. But this week, one of its members said vulnerable Democrats may want to distance themselves from Biden. This is Congressmember Mark Veazey of Texas.
I think they need to do whatever it is they need to do in order to come back and be reelected. Yeah, and so if they need to, you know, distance themselves, then that's what they need to do.
Meanwhile, on Wednesday, the Republican-led House Oversight Committee issued subpoenas for three senior White House aides to testify about Biden's health. Today, Senate Democrats will have a special caucus lunch with top Biden officials to discuss the path forward. For more, we're joined by two guests with different views on what this path forward should be. Here in New York, Wajahat Ali is with us. He's a columnist for The Daily Beast. His podcast is Democracy-ish, and his Substack is called The Left Hook, where his recent pieces are headlined Democracy or Dictatorship? Choose One. And Why is the Punditocracy Trying to Get Rid of Biden? His piece for The Progressive magazine is headlined Biden's Very Old and Out of Touch, and Here's Why You Should Vote for Him. And in San Francisco, we're joined by Norm Solomon, the executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy, co-founder of RootsAction.org, which sponsors the Step Aside Joe campaign. They're calling for an open convention in order to defeat Trump. Norm Solomon's most recent book is titled War Made Invisible, How America Hides the Human Toll of Its Military Machine. He's been an elected delegate at three past Democratic national conventions. And by the way, we'll be both at the Republican convention with two-hour daily coverage from Milwaukee and at the Democratic convention with the same 2 hours across the week. Wajahat Ali, let's start with you. Why do you believe that President Biden should remain in the race?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's the first time ever. I feel I finally made it in America. This is why my parents came from Pakistan, so this is a big deal. Listen, I have no fidelity to Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Gretchen Whitmer, throw any name you want out there. I have fidelity to this flawed democracy. And I think all of us agree right now this flawed democracy is under attack and under threat from a very real right-wing fascist movement, which is MAGA, democracy or dictatorship. I also know the lessons that we can learn from Hungary, where democracy failed is when the pro-democratic coalition, the pro-democracy coalition, splinters and falters. What happens? Fascism wins. And I also know as of this week, after 2 weeks of breathless coverage where we've talked about Joe Biden being old and that terrible no good debate. Have you heard about that debate? Did you hear how old he is? For 2 weeks, this has been the nonstop news. It's like the dog from Up. Squirrel, squirrel. That's what the corporate media has talked about nonstop, and it has influenced public opinion. I do know that Joe Biden says he's still in the race. The ticket, as of right now, is Biden Harris. Harris is on the ticket. She is the VP. And I also know the CBC, the Congressional Black Caucus, is behind Joe Biden. You know that the progressives are behind Joe Biden. I understand the risk. We have 4 months left. It's still a winnable race. A lot can happen in 4 months. And I also know this about the polls. Everyone on Sunday said, I don't know, national rally looks like it's going to win. What happened in France? What happened in UK? 2022 elections. It was going to be a red wave, red trickle. Special elections. When it came to abortion, when abortion was on the ballot, overwhelmingly abortion rights won. I still think it's within the margin of error. And the last thing I'll say is I know Norm cares, and I care also about saving this democracy. But if you're telling me right now, if Biden's in the race, the CBC is behind him, you're going to jettison him, force him out. Then in a month, in the Democratic convention, put Harris with some random white person, because that's what it's going to be, and then pitch this to the American public. That is even more risky, and I believe a recipe for disaster. Go on offense. You have 4 months. You have a winning campaign. We just found out about Project 2025 thanks to Taraji Henson. You have 4 months. Attack, attack, attack. This firing squad is going to weaken us, and we're going to lose.
So, Norm Solomon, if you could respond to what Wajahat said and why you think that Biden should step aside.
It's precisely because of the threat of the right-wing neo-fascist Republican Party that we need to recognize reality. You know, magical thinking will not work. Hope will not work when the facts are so daunting and so frightening, frankly, in terms of the prospects for preventing Trump from getting a second term. It's very important that we not replicate Joe Biden's denial. And I'm hearing a lot of that. The idea that because Joe Biden wants to continue, because Joe Biden, without being credible, claims that he is in a good position to defeat Trump, I think that's a terrible mistake to internalize that. It's not just about the debate. A week ago in his ABC News interview, we had a situation where Joe Biden made fantastic claims about his political standing, which were basically contradicted by facts. And we should not get into alternative facts, trying to hopefully, through our wishful thinking, come up with different circumstances. Of course, we wish that Trump wasn't running away with this in swing states. But right now, the latest polling indicates that it's getting worse and worse. We also can consider what Joe Biden himself said last week. And this is really significant. He said that he should no longer do public events after 8 p.m. Can you imagine, in the last months of a presidential race, the standard bearer of the Democratic Party saying, I can't do any public events after 8 p.m. I don't even know if that is the Eastern time zone, if he's campaigning in Arizona or Nevada. It's frankly borderline or over the borderline of preposterous that out of his own mouth, the prospective nominee of the party is saying, oh, my lesson from my recent problems is I can't campaign in public after 8 p.m. When we look at the latest polling, it's gotten worse. In the last day, the swing states are going further south. We had PBS reporting last night, and I'm quoting here, new polls show Biden slipping further behind Trump in critical swing states. And it's not only that, it gets even worse. Politico reported yesterday that New York is now in contention, which is frankly mind-blowing, the deep blue state of New York with Biden at the top of the ticket. And I'm quoting here, it's now a competitive race in deep blue New York. Elected officials, union leaders, and political consultants are panicking over a steady erosion of Biden's support in New York. Really, the idea that we should stick with Biden, I think, is a terrible mistake. There are members of Congress who are under all sorts of pressure. Our job is to not replicate or imitate those inside the bubble who are pledging their allegiance to Joe Biden. Our job is to not imitate Biden's yes men and yes women around them. We're not yes people when it comes to people in power who are leading us down a garden path to disaster. You know, there's the cliche that you don't switch horses in midstream. But if you're astride a horse that's drowning, you'd better switch horses. It's true there's an unknown if we can induce or force, whatever you will, Biden to step aside. It's an unknown. But what is known is that the prospects for Trump to triumph over a Biden-led ticket are huge. And let me mention that, and this has not gotten enough attention, that in his op-ed, George Clooney said yesterday that he had talked with senators, representatives, and governors, all Democrats, and every single one of them told him they believe that with Biden at the top of the ticket, the U.S. government will fall into the hands of the Republican Party, that Trump would win the White House, the Republicans would win the Senate and retain the House. That is an absolute prescription for neo-fascism in this country. And I think we just got to be real about this. And I would just point out something that George Clooney said, which I think is quite relevant. I'm quoting here. We can put our heads in the sand and pray for a miracle in November, or we can speak the truth. And it's a responsibility for progressives and others who want to stop fascism to speak the truth and demand that Biden get off the ticket.
So, Wajahat, if you could respond to Norm. And you know, you mentioned earlier you drew the analogy between Hungary's Orban and Trump. But, you know, there's another argument that's being made also on the left by progressives, that the analogy is not so much with Orban as it is with Marine Le Pen in France. And those elections were called, they took a month, basically, they were snap elections. So there are a couple of things. One, do you agree that the analogy is that? And the second thing is another argument that's made against replacing Biden is that it's only, the election is only 4 months away. On the other hand, 4 months is an extremely long time compared to elections that are held elsewhere, including just now we've seen in the UK and in France.
So we don't have a parliamentary election. We don't have multiple parties in this country. Unfortunately, we don't have second round voting, which is why it's that much more important that we have unity here and we have a democratic coalition, or at least a pro-democracy coalition. Also, when you're talking about wishful thinking and hope, I'm a Muslim. We say inshallah. To say that next month we're going to go into the convention and inshallah find a ticket, maybe Harris, maybe not Harris, because a lot of these pundits, they haven't even mentioned Kamala Harris, who is the vice president. They've mentioned Whitmer, West.